A lying tongue.
Number two on the list is a lying tongue, and the Lord certainly must hate lying because it's on the list twice. Murder is mentioned just once, and it's in third place. But in a little while, we're going to hear from Brother Evans, who's going to talk about item number six, a false witness that speaketh lies. Now, the dictionary says that lying conveys the blunt accusation of untruth. And perhaps the best example we have in the scriptures is the serpent in Eden, who said, "Thou shalt not surely die." Jesus called the devil a liar, the father of lies. And as we look in the scriptures, we find lies in many places. Abraham, for example, instructs Sarah to lie about the relationship that she had with him. Jacob passes off himself to his father as though he were his brother Esau. David, a man after God's own heart, attempts to cover up and lie about his sin with Bathsheba. These are all examples of human frailty. But you and I are supposed to resist those elements of human frailty. In Colossians, the third chapter, Paul writes to the church in verses 9 and 10, and he says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. You put on the new man, which is renewed in or by knowledge, after the image of him that created him." Now, there's an expression in the world that says, the ends justify the means. The idea, I suppose, is that if the end result is good, it doesn't matter what you do in order to obtain that particular good. Even lying. But that's old man thinking. We've just read in Colossians, you put off the old man. We put on the new man, and that requires knowledge for its growth. This knowledge of the Heavenly Father we call the truth. Lying is the opposite of the truth. We think about, among ourselves and in the lessons that we've had together, the future reward for the church, if faithful. Perhaps we need to remind ourselves of how much the Lord hates lying. Even though, if we read our own hearts, we recognize that from time to time we all lie. Now, we don't call it lying. We may call it a white lie, on the grounds that that color is better than any other. I suppose that we believe it's okay to lie if it has good results. The ends justifying the means. Like telling a speaker that we liked his talk when we didn't. Or telling others what we think they want to hear. But the ends don't justify the means. If we start lying about the little things, we will soon find ourselves lying in the bigger things. And brethren, the scriptures say that the liars go to second death. And that's Revelation 21:8. It says, the fearful, the unbelieving, and all liars, there it is, shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So what are you supposed to do when you come face to face with this out-of-town speaker, and you're so grateful he came through your town, and you didn't enjoy his talk? What do you say to the hostess when you really didn't have a good time? What about the questions from your children when you don't think that they can handle the plain, unvarnished truth? What are you supposed to do? You might take a tip from salespeople. They are told, never lie, but don't volunteer the truth. And so, you say to the speaker, thank you for coming. You say to the hostess, thanks for inviting us. Or you say to the children, someday we may talk about that, but not now. The other extreme is wrong too, and that's to be so brutally honest that you don't care what damage you cause by that. And that is just as wrong. When it is the Word of God, we do have a responsibility to say what we believe and why we believe it. The Master never compromised the truth. But whether he talked with friends or whether he talked with enemies, he treated them with consideration. Now, if you don't think that you can do that, then perhaps it's just best if you say nothing. Lying is not the easy way out. It is the way to death. Proverbs 19:9. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish.